Hey everybody, thanks for joining us today. My name is Zach Olson and I'm the worship pastor here at Mosaic. And I wanted to just let you know that today's message is a little bit different than we're used to. We spent some time this weekend praying together as a church. Renaud kind of led us through different things to pray for, praying for one another, as well as our city and the world. And so today, as you listen to the message, you'll hear some different pauses where we spent time praying together as a community. And we want you to take advantage of that opportunity to pray as you listen today. So as you hear those pauses and hear the music playing in the background, we invite you to pray for whatever may be going on in your life or within your circle of influence. So let's go ahead and jump into today's message.
Man, it's so good to be with all of you guys this morning, and I am so excited to be here. I really this morning come with great expectancy of what God is going to do among us and through us in this place as we spend some time together. This last week, part of why I have such expectancy is because of some things God did this last week. The staff here at Mosaic, we're on our staff retreat that we do once a year for a couple of days, where we gather up together and we connect with one another and we connect with God so that we can remain healthy, so that we can lead and shepherd this church in a manner worthy of the gospel. So that's an important space for us. And while we were on the staff retreat, one of my very, very best friends sent me a text and just said, hey, would you mind just praying, especially today, this was on Wednesday, just for our daughter. That friend is Scott South and his wife, Julie. They are part of our church, and their daughter, Bella, is the little girl that had the 5-organ transplant last year. And so she has been doing well over this last year, but when you have something that large from a medical perspective take place, there's a lot of experimentation that comes with that and a lot of unknowns. And so as she's journeyed over the last few weeks, there's just been a collision of space between the things going on inside of her body. So on the one hand, the graft versus host disease is kind of doing some stuff that you keep at bay with one set of medications. And on the other hand, her body's fighting some other things that need a different set of medication, and the two kind of combat each other. And so they're trying to figure out how to stabilize this journey for her. And it is a very complex space. And so Scott just reached out and said, hey, would you pray? And I could tell when he called and I was talking with him that this was a heavier space than usual. I've been journeying with Scott and Julie for years now through Bella's story, and it has heavy, heavy days, and it has bright and wondrous days. This one felt heavy. And so we gathered the staff up and we gathered around, and as I was sharing with the staff about praying for Bella, I just got this deep stirring inside of me that, like, I'm tired of going to prayer about this like it's a little thing we're going to do. Stop for a minute in your day. Dear Jesus, help Bella and the Souths. Amen. Move on with the day. Like, I just kind of had the sense, like, I'm kind of mad. And I want to get down on my knees. I want to go to prayer in a new way. I want to enter into the space where God is. I want to go bang on his door. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to go like, boom, 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 please. I want to beg. I want to plead. Like, I felt it in me. Like, I want to pray differently. And as that began to stir in me and began to move in me, God started kind of just saying, hey, there's a lot going on this planet of death. And I think this weekend you need to put 1 Peter aside, and you need to gather up as a church and you just need to pray. Because here's the reality, right? As we step into this and I begin to think like that, I'm going to go bang on the door of God, I'm going to beg him, I'm going to plead with him, then all this other stuff starts resonating in my head. Because there's a lot of questions about prayer. I mean, do you get prayer? Because I don't. And I've been studying it forever. So I start going, okay, well, God is sovereign, you know? Like, he's the author of the whole story. He is presently in my present, presently in my past, and presently in my future. He knows the whole of history. He's got the whole thing done. So when I come to prayer, I mean, really, what good does it do if he's already done it? And then my mind goes, well, hold on, that can't be right. And then I start going, I got to make some excuses for God. Because what if he says no? And if he says no, then I got to help people understand why he didn't heal, because maybe they think that he doesn't heal anymore. And so I got to go, dear God, heal Bella, but if it's not your will, that's okay, and we're good, and we love you anyway, and we're pretty much sure you're not going to heal her, so we're just going to set all that on the table. I don't want to do that. And then I realized, here's what I realized. That as you read scripture, the way God unpacks prayer for us is that he does say, look, I want you on the one hand to know that I've got this, so that you're not afraid, so that you enter into my space realizing that I am a good father, that I am the adult in the equation, and I know stuff you don't, and I get stuff you don't, and I'm up to stuff you don't know. So you got to come in with that recognition. But simultaneously, you're like the kid, the three-year-old. And you don't need to strategize. You don't need to navigate. You don't need to come to me and be like, okay, if I lay it out this way with this formula and say this way, dear God of the gracious Father of heaven, and if I say it all, then he will be moved to somehow be manipulated into doing what I want. I just got to come to him and go, Dad! Like an old three-year-old. So my kids do this all the time, don't they? They roll in and I can tell when they got a strategy. You know what I'm saying? Like they're like, they start this space and that, and then the formula starts, and about halfway through I just go, stop. What do you want? What are you asking? Just get to the point. I mean, I don't have time for this, like, just ask, and it's either gonna be a yes or a no. And then they typically go, I figured it'd be a no. And I go, hold on. When you don't ask, it's a definite no. But when you ask, it might still be no, but it might be yes. So your best bet is always just to come to Dad and ask. And you got to trust me, otherwise you're in trouble because you're already expecting wrongly. But just come and ask. See, when it comes to prayer, God makes it simple for us. You're the kid, I'm the dad, I'm a good father, come and ask. And trust me with the outcome, yes, but come and ask. The James, when he wrote the first letter to the early New Testament church, remember Peter just got released from prison supernaturally. James, the disciple of Jesus, got his head chopped off by Herod. James was in Jerusalem, the half-brother of Jesus, and he was the leader of the church in Jerusalem as the gospel was scattering. And he writes the very first letter to the early New Testament church, the book of James. And he instructs us on how to do life as followers of Jesus under the new covenant. And toward the end of the book of James in chapter 5, he writes this extraordinary collision of two dynamics that don't seem to make sense. On the one hand, in chapter 5, he talks about our suffering on this planet. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. So see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord before you. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So on the one hand, what is James saying? Where should we set our hope? On the future redemption of God, on him finishing every good work, on him making all things new, that whatever prayers we have, whatever we need, whatever we want, when is it going to be fully realized? When he's done with this crazy story and he redeems it all. So he says, be steadfast in suffering. But look what he does next. The very next verse, verse 13. Is any of you among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call on the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and anoint him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. See, so this is James. Set your hope on the future. Endure suffering. If you're suffering, ask God to take it away. And you're like, I'm confused. But it's not confusion. Here's what God's saying. If you set your hope on the temporal, if you set your hope on what God will give you and not on God himself, then you are bound to have a roller coaster of a ride on this planet. But if you set your hope on the good Father that he is, I have tasted and I have seen that he is good. And so I now can come fearlessly and expectantly for him to do things now, because I already know he will do things then. And then we can come without fear of disappointment, because we can come and beg our God to intervene on our behalf and to change things now, because there are things as a dad I'm doing for my kids for the then. But there's a lot of times when my kids just ask me now and I go, okay, And so I'm going to come ask. James was also the one that wrote this. Sometimes you just don't have because you just didn't ask. It's in there. So I'm not going to be the one that goes, Renaud, you just never asked. So you don't have it. Oh, no, I'm going to ask for everything. Because then I can trust my good Father to step in. So we are going to do something a little different today. If this is your first time here, this is not the total norm. Don't worry, it's not going to get weird. Just relax, right? We're going to pray as a church together. We're going to pray through a couple of different things. And we're going to start by praying for Bella and for the South family. Because by the time this weekend is over, I want to see what happens when 3,500 people over a weekend gather up, men, women, and children, and pray. Not that our collective is more profound and powerful than me as an individual in my relationship with God, but we are the body of Christ, are we not? And when we come to God as one and say, here we are, hear the cry of your people, I want to see what God does with that. And so I want to come expectantly, and we're going to pray for Bella. And as we pray for Bella, then when we're done with that, we're going to pray for each other in some unique ways. And then when we're done with that, we're going to pray for our city, and we're going to pray for our world. And here's what we're going to do in our prayers. We're going to come boldly. We're not going to make excuses. God, do this, but if you don't want to, it's okay. No, we're just going to stick with the God, do this, please. And then we're going to know that at the end, all our prayers, all our hopes, all our future is still in the hands of God. I'm not wearing a smiley face. This is not a smiley face. This is the hand of God on our icon that says, when we pray and when we share, who does the work? God does. Who do we leave it with? God. So we come and we ask boldly with faith, and then we trust God to do what a good father will do, knowing more than his little kids. And that's what we're going to do. So we're going to come and do that. So once we're done praying for Bella for a few minutes, I'm going to close that section out in prayer, and then I'm going to ask some questions just to kind of prepare you. I'm going to say, if there's anyone in this room that's struggling with some physical stuff, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and we're going to pray for you together as a collective. Then I'm going to ask after that, when I'm done closing that section, if anyone's struggling with some emotional stuff, then I'm going to raise your hand, and we're going to pray for you. And then if someone's struggling with relational stuff, raise your hand, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to pray together. Now, if you're here and you're like, I don't pray out loud, man. I get it. It's part of the journey. You don't have to. Here's what we do. You can sit quietly and pray by yourself quietly, or what I would love to see is you gather around with little groups of people, because here's how prayer works. When a little group gathers around and one of you is praying, the others in the group get to focus on what that one person's praying and listen for things that resonate, and then they're able to go, yes, God, that guy just said, or that lady just said, I'm with that. That's my prayer too. That's why you'll hear people in a small group sometimes go like this, amen, yes, It's not weird Christian stuff. It's us agreeing with one another in a prayer that one person is verbalizing for the collective. You with me? So if you want to go, yes, Lord, yes, you feel free. If you just want to sit there quietly and go, that's fine too. Whatever it is for you to say, I am actively participating with the person praying through agreeing with them. That's how that works. It's not complicated. And we don't have to say all sorts of God, a Father of lights, of great, merciful. Just, hey, Dad, listen, can you do this for us? Because we're struggling. It doesn't have to be complicated. So we're going to start by praying for Bella, that God would heal her, whether naturally or supernaturally. I couldn't care less. That God would heal her and that he would bring full restoration to that family. We're going to pray for Julie and Scott South, that God would sustain them, that he would give them strength, that he would give them peace that transcends understanding, because they'll need every bit of it. And we're going to pray for wisdom in the crazy decisions they have to make in the journey ahead medically. So we're going to do that for 3 or 4 minutes, and then I will close us out and I'll move us onto the next space. Grab a hand next to you, gather around with a group next to you. I don't care, pray alone, but we're all praying for Bella and the South family right now. So don't talk, just pray. Go, pray. God, we're so grateful for you, that you have revealed yourself to us as Father in a relationship we can understand, because we all have these relationships on this planet that make sense as you reveal yourself. Thank you that you've revealed yourself not just as Father, but as a good Father. And so, God, we come before you as our good Father, not having to understand all the complexities of prayer to be able to engage in it, but just to understand the simplicity that you say, come to me, kids, and ask me. So that's what we're here to do. God, if we have to bang on the door, if we have to beg and plead, we will, because you are our dad. And so we come to you just asking today that you would intervene in the story of Bella and the Souths, that you would heal Bella naturally or supernaturally through this incredibly difficult journey, that you would be with the South girls, Bella's sisters, and just give grace and peace to them, and that you would sustain Scott and Julie as they navigate these insane waters, that you would give them peace that transcends whatever makes sense and strength that is beyond their own, so that they can sustain when they should not be able to sustain. God, we pray for your healing over Bella. We trust you with that. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you are here today and you are struggling with something physical, you have a sickness, a disease, your body's not doing what it's supposed to, you've been struggling a long time, or just recently you've started struggling, you're trying to navigate what it all means, you're just trying to figure it out, and you're just like, man, I have some physical stuff going on that's really difficult. We want to pray for you. We want to ask God to intervene in your story, to give wisdom and guidance and healing in your story. So this is not judgment, this is just freedom. If you're here and you have something going on that you would like prayer for that's physical, would you just raise your hand nice and high and keep it up? Nice and high. Now, here's what I want you to keep it up. If you're around someone with raising their hand, just put a hand on their shoulder, get up out of your seat, gather around them. If you're three or four rows back, you don't have to move. Just put your hand out at them when you're praying. Pick a person whose hand is up. Pick a person in your mind right now and say, I'm going to go pray for that person. I'm going to sit here and pray for that person. We're going to pray for God to give wisdom, direction, and healing in whatever's physically going on. They don't have to tell you what's going on. This is not a discussion. Just pray for the people whose hands are up for healing right now. Look for that person, gather around them, and then start praying. You guys are welcome to put your hands down. Let's pray. Thank you. God, we just come before you today and just pray for those who raised their hands to say, man, there's something going on physically that I'm struggling with. God, we just pray over them collectively as a body today, just for their healing, for their journey forward, for wisdom and direction, for the natural or supernatural course of things to bring them to full recovery in their journey. Give them patient endurance as they journey on, and give them expectant hearts for you to intervene. Give us a faith of expectancy for you to intervene. God, heal them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you are struggling emotionally, maybe it's been a long haul thing, you've struggled with anxiety for much of your life, or fear or depression, or maybe it's fairly recent and it's circumstantial. There's stuff going on in your life that have produced some anxiety or fear or depression or discouragement or discontent. You don't have direction in life and you're trying to figure out what on earth God wants from you, but you can't seem to figure it out. You're struggling internally. You have a sense that things are just internally discombobulated, and you're just like, man, I'd love some prayer for God just to heal what's going on inside of me, to diminish anxiety, to quell the rising of depression, to bring about healing internally. We would love to pray for you. There's no judgment here. This is freedom. We want to pray for you. So if you're struggling emotionally with things and you'd like some prayer, just raise your hand, would you? Raise your hand up nice and high and hold it up, because I want the people around you to see where you're at. And so now look around at the hands that are up. If you want to gather around one of them, put a hand on a shoulder from behind them, or just reach a hand out from where you're sitting. Pick somebody specific and then just be praying for them that God would heal whatever emotional turmoil they currently find themselves in. So let's go to prayer. Don't ask them what's going on. Just pray for them. Go pray for the people that have their hands up. God, we just come before you as children desperate for your intervention. God, for so many here and so many of us at different seasons in life, the plaguing realities of our emotional turmoil is so heavy. God, we just pray for your intervention and healing. in the journeys that each who raised their hand have, and in the journeys that many of us will have in our future as we have in our past. We recognize, God, that emotional turmoil is often complicated, sometimes external circumstance, sometimes biological, where our bodies are not producing the right chemicals, and we feel such heaviness, sometimes mental, sometimes just the combination of all of it, God. So we ask for your healing in all of that. And God, we ask that you would help us to be a place of freedom here. God, diminish shame that so many of us feel when we feel these things that we're apparently not supposed to. And then we hide and we isolate when what you invite us into is community and freedom. God, may those who raise their hands find deep community here, connect to the biblical community and find healing, not in isolation, but in togetherness. God, help us to be a body that is safe for those struggling, for all of us who will struggle at different times emotionally. And God, would you produce healing through the body, through the natural course of things, and supernaturally as you intervene in our stories. Bring hope to all those who raise their hands today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here and you are struggling relationally, maybe your marriage is in a hard place right now and you're really struggling there, or maybe you have a friendship that you're really struggling with, or maybe you're a parent and you have a child that feels estranged or disconnected from you and you're really struggling, or maybe you're a child and you have a parent that you're like, man, I'm really struggling. Maybe there's deep bitterness and hurt from past relationships that are not able to reconcile and they burden you. If you have a relational struggle of any kind from your past or your present that is still presently a reality, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for that relationship. We want to pray for God to do impossible things in relationships you thought would never be restored and can't ever be restored. We want to pray for God to undo those things. And so if you're here and you have a relational dynamic that you're just really struggling with and you want us to pray for you and pray for healing in that, would you just put your hand up and just say, man, I'd love some prayer on this one. We would love to pray for you. Raise those hands nice and high. Look around, find a hand near you. If you can gather around, put a hand on a shoulder, get with them, or just a couple rows back, put a hand out and just pray for God to bring healing in these relational dynamics that these people are raising their hand for at this season in their life. Pray for God to undo bitterness and hurt and pain and to give courage and strength in the healing journey of relational connection. Go, pray, pray, pray. God, you know the incredible complications that are our relational dynamics on this planet. You know how much we so often hurt each other, do things we intend or don't intend to do that affect pain. So many dynamics of how we are personally affected, and then our struggle turns into bitterness, and then there's vengeance, and then one thing leads to another, and before you know it, God, it just feels irreconcilable. God, our relational dynamics are hard, and the closer we seem to be to each other, the harder it seems to get so often. So God, we just come before you as desperate children, asking you to intervene in our relational dynamics where they are currently struggling, where they are broken, or where they seem to have no way out. God, we ask you to naturally or supernaturally intervene in the healing of these relationships. God, for many of us in this room that raised our hands, it feels impossible. And so that's why we come to you, God, because the relationship we have with you is not a religious activity. It is not simply a thing we do. It is us trusting you, us needing you, us coming to you as our good Father to ask you to do what we cannot do, to change in us what we cannot change in ourselves, and to change in this world what we cannot change in our humanity. So God, would you heal the relationships that the hands were raised for, and heal the relationships in this room in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have taken some time to essentially confess to one another our struggles, our sins, our heartaches, what our body's not doing that it's supposed to, what our emotions are not doing what they're supposed to, what our minds are not doing what they're supposed to, what our relationships are not though they are supposed to be. These are the complications of life. Don't hear that as a guilt. Hear that as a reality living on planet death in a body of death, right? We struggle with sin, don't we? And so we come together and we confess that to each other. This place is a place of freedom. I'm sorry the church hasn't always been that in its history, but it is here. You come here, you be yourself, you lay it out, and then we together pray for each other and engage in each other's journey to see healing. So we have done that now, and that is good. But we also then, out of that, get to pray for those outside of this space. And so now I want to take a little bit of time and I want to pray for our city. Because in this city in which we live, a lot goes on every day that needs redeeming. While we sit here in this room, eating our donuts, drinking our coffee, worshiping God and experiencing the freedom of Christ, this very hour that we sit here, there are things going on in our city where people are trapped and bound and stuck. They don't want to be, but they are. They don't know how bound they are. Right now, there are ladies on stages in our city doing things they never dreamed as a little girl they would ever do. And men in those places addicted to the realities that come with that, that never dreamed as little boys that's who they would become. And now they're there and they're stuck and they don't know anything but that, and they're bound, and we stand in such judgment. But how dare we? We should have compassion and we should pray for freedom and redemption. There are people walking the streets of Winter Garden, of Orlando, of our city, that are stuck in alcoholism or addicted to heroin or stuck on prescription drugs or engaged in pornography, and the shame and the fear of it all is so overwhelming now that they've long forgotten that they're even bound. And they walk the streets and we look at them from a distance and we're like, what happened to you? But how dare we? We should pray for their redemption, pray for their freedom, pray for their healing. They need us to go to God on their behalf and to beg Him to set them free. And they need us to go on God's behalf and be the hands and feet of setting them free. So we're going to take a few minutes. You're going to gather around with a few people around you or just sit quietly, and we're going to pray for God's redemption to move into our city, and on this very day to begin to set people free. And we're going to ask God to send us to go do it with Him. So go to prayer for our city and for the people in our city that need freedom, the freedom we have tasted and seen in the great God that we serve. Go pray for them. God, our city needs you. Our city needs you. Our city needs the freedom that you bring. Our city needs to encounter you. Our city needs you to set them free. God, none of us in this room have the capacity to set anybody free from anything, but you do. And so we come before you to ask you to go before us and come behind us and do through us what we cannot do through ourselves. Yes, send us, God, but then work through us and do your beauty, your powerful thing in transforming our city, bringing about freedom. Take us into the dark parts of our city, the hard parts of our city. And God, use us and work through us to set free the captives, to bring life to those who are experiencing death, to bring freedom, to bring light to the darkness. God, we ask that you would go on our behalf for your glory into our city and redeem it, every dark corner, even now, even here, even today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And just so you know, as we pray that, let us make sure that as we ask God that he would go before us and behind us, that we do the going as well. That we say to God, here am I, send me. Because though we cannot set free the captives, he invited us to participate with him to go and be the hands and feet through which he sets free the captives. We need to be willing to go into our neighborhoods and our workplaces and the places where it doesn't seem like a whole lot's wrong. They're driving nice cars. They've got cute families on Facebook. But remember that they do not know Jesus. And if they do not know Jesus, they do not yet know freedom. And then we need to go into the hard places where it really does feel just as hard. My wife gets to go once a month with two amazing young women from YWAM down to John Young at 10 p.m. on a particular night to a strip club down there where they've befriended the bouncer in the back that guards the dressing room. They slip in the back and they go sit with those ladies as they come off the stage and they just love on them and talk with them and pray for them and care about them. And this last Valentine's, one of my daughters who makes cards and does calligraphy, she made 20 cards and they put together these gift bags for Valentine's Day with all sorts of cool stuff in them and delivered them to these women. And for many of these women, single moms, young ladies from hard places, it was the first Valentine's gift they get from someone that actually loves them. Like, we have to step into these spaces and we have to go and we have to choose to be a part of this. And we have to give ourselves to it so that God would be able to move as he sees fit through us and do his great work. So pray hard, but go hard as well, because it's not an either or, it's a both and. We cannot neglect prayer, nor can we neglect going. So go. Now we're going to pray for one last thing as a collective. We're going to pray for our world, because our world needs redeeming, and our city isn't the only city in the world that needs Jesus to redeem this city. So we're going to pray for our world. And the way we're going to pray for our world is pray through our global partners. We have a number of global partners throughout the world that we come alongside and support. We move over $600,000 a year to support and to fund our global partners, from church planters to people working in justice and mercy around the world. And we want to pray for those partners, that as they do the hard work in cities that are not our city, that we get to participate in, that they would know the strength and power of God and that he would work through them to redeem their cities. As a matter of fact, when we're done praying with this, we'll have the privilege of having one of those global partners up here that I can pray over. Nicole and Paul Gordon and their family, they're up in Massachusetts in North Adams. As a matter of fact, our Christmas, when we did Christmas Eve here and we took that offering that we always take on Christmas Eve, that offering went to this church to help them in their new finding of a space that they can work in to see that city redeemed. So while you're praying, they're going to come on up here. And when I close us in prayer, I'm going to pray over them on behalf of all our global partners that God would just do a mighty work through them. So would you go. Pick a continent. We have global partners on every continent. Pick, maybe not Alaska, although I know someone there that's doing amazing work for Jesus. So pray for every continent. Pray for our global partners. Pray that Jesus would set free this insane planet from its bondage and bring about redemption. So go pray for our global partners. Go, go, go. All right. As you close out, we're going to pray for Paul and for Nicole and the Gordon family as they continue to do an amazing work in North Adams where it's freezing cold. It's a mission beyond my imagination. And so we got to pray for them. But let's pray that God would use them mightily and our other global partners as we see the world redeemed through God's great work through his people. Amen. God, we just thank you so much for all that you do in our city and around the world and in our families and our lives and our stories, all that you are doing, all that you are redeeming. We thank you that you have promised that you will finish every great work that you've begun and that you will make all things new, that we can still look to that future and know that you are at work bringing about full redemption. And in the meantime, while we're here, we're asking you to intervene here and now in the mess that we're in today so that you would also demonstrate your freedom, not just eternally, but temporarily here with us. Set us free, heal us, heal our land. God, do your work. I just pray for the Gordon family as they do a great work up in North Adams, that you would be with them, that you would strengthen them, that you would make them bold, that you would open doors for them, that you would use them mightily as they plant church up there and work to see their city redeemed. May you just give them the endurance and patience they need in the early stages of church planting, and that you would just do great and mighty things, not just through them, but in them and in their family. Protect their marriage, protect their children, help them to fall in love with your bride, the church, and more in love with you every day. And I pray, God, that you would keep their heads on straight and give them great peace and great strength and keep their eyes fixed on you. We pray this for all of our global partners as they labor on behalf of your kingdom in all these places. And thank you that we get to participate with them in the small ways that we get to do. We love you, Jesus, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be praying for the Gordon family as they finish their vacation down here in Florida and head back to the icy cold. So, guys, thank you for all that you guys do. You guys are amazing. So, let me finish here. As you guys know, as we've been spending time in 1 Peter the last couple of weeks, Peter is writing to the early New Testament church, and he's giving them a context, right, which includes our context. He says to them, you guys are exiles, though you are chosen exiles. And so he starts speaking to us how we are to live as exiles on this planet, though our home is eternity. And he uses language reminiscent of the language that Jeremiah used when he was speaking for God as a prophet to the people of Israel who were exiled to Babylon. And listen to what Jeremiah says to the people exiled in Babylon, because we see a pattern here that calls us, that compels us, that invites us into prayer on a regular basis for our city, for each other, and for the great future God has. So Jeremiah speaking here to the people of Israel as they are in exile in Babylon. Verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 29. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. What's God saying? Don't be afraid. I know it seems scary, but don't be afraid. Don't hide. Don't buckle down. Don't put the hatches down. Get out on top of the front of the boat and sail through this puppy, because you are a chosen child of God. You just happen to be in exile. And look what he says next. This is so awesome. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. What are we to do for our city and our world, for our bodies of death? Pray for God to intervene and to bring about freedom. This is our command. And then look what he says. Look what he says. For thus says the Lord, verse 10, when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you future and a hope. God is speaking of what we should look to in our future, though we are now in exile. Pray here, pray now, pray for this city, pray for this well-being, but keep your eyes fixed where? On the future promise of this exile being over. And then he says this, look at this. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Folks, listen to me. Every prayer we pray today will find its answer in its finality of our eternity. It will find every prayer answered, every dream realized, everything we've begged for will come to be, because God says, when this exile's over, I will bring you and you will know me and you will know freedom, and all that was lost to you in this human journey will be restored. But while we are in the city, what are we to do? Pray and go and be fearless and redeem things, because God is good and he's given us a great hope and a great future that is not temporal, but that is eternal. And so this is what we do, and this is why we pray, and this is why we go. I am grateful that I have tasted and seen of the good, good Father that my God is, and that I have relationship with him, and I'm grateful that we collectively are his body if we know Jesus and have relationship. And if you're here today, and this is a first for you, know that we, the followers of Jesus, are for you. We are for your freedom, and we trust our God. We don't just complete religious activities. We come, we ask, we trust, because he is a good, good Father who does good things for us and has a great future for us. Amen? Amen. Well, let me pray for us now, and then we will worship in response to God and just settle into this place of ongoing worship and prayer as we spend time closing our time out here in the presence of God. God, thank you for all that you are doing among us, in us, and through us. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the great hope of our future that we have, so that we can pray boldly in the present without fear of disappointment, because we trust you. We trust who you are, and we trust what you're up to. And yet we come to you as 3-year-olds with expectancy, asking you in our infancy, in our naivety, but asking you fully with our hearts. God, would you do these things for us? Because we need you. And so, God, we come to you, heal our land, heal our bodies, heal our souls and spirits where they struggle. And we thank you that you have already made us alive where we were once dead. Given us an inheritance where we once had none. Made us a people when we once weren't. And moved us from being children of wrath to being children of God. So that we have absolute freedom in you. Now, as we live in exile day in and day out, in relationships, in this body, in this world, may we live boldly, may we ask boldly, may we go boldly as you send us out to bring redemption on your behalf and for your kingdom and by your power and by your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.